You know what happened this day in history? In 1881, there's movies made about it, 50 plus movies made over this individual. Any guess? 1881. I think Roger was a young man then. Very, very young. His dad was young then, his grandfather. This day in history, so Billy the Kid made his famous escape from Lincoln County, New Mexico. So Billy the Kid, you remember watching Billy the Kid movies? So this day in history is when he made that famous escape, and then he went out, and eventually they caught him, but he was waiting to be, he's on trial to be hung. He was waiting for the gallows, and then he escaped, and they tracked him down, and I guess they tracked him down at some ranch or something like that. But so all the stories about Billy the Kid, not that I was a big fan of Billy the Kid, it was just this day in history it was interesting to find out. It was the Old West, right? So I love the Old West and everything that was happening in the Old West, but he never like robbed banks or stole from people. He would take horses. So he was a horse thief, primarily Billy the Kid. And then he was good with his gun. So that's what he was known for. So what is the difference between in-laws and outlaws? Outlaws are wanted. Yeah. In-laws sometimes aren't wanted, but outlaws are wanted. All right. Huh? Janet said that's not a joke. Okay, so we can't use that one as a joke. That might be a fact. Kaylin, you can't say anything about that. What is the difference between... Oh, okay. I have to put my glasses on. Trying to keep my notes smaller. Did you hear about the outlaw that became a dentist? He robbed people at gum point. So the dentist. All right. Jen liked that one. That's pretty much it. There you go. Why don't cabbages make good outlaws? They always have a price on their head. Cabbages. A head of cabbage. And they always have a price on their head. A head of cabbage, right? A head of cabbage. Last one. But the outlaw jokes, we'll probably never do these again. So I had to do one more. What do you call an outlaw goat? Billy the Kid. There you go. So we ended with what we started with. Bonnie, good. So Bonnie gets a 5-star today. Bonnie, I'll give you my $5 for the good jokes. But this morning, we've been following the news, right? And over again since October, and now we see this ramping up. I wanted to step back, and I wanted to step back because we finished Titus. And I love doing books and getting into the books and going through a book because honestly, it's a lot easier than pulling out a topic sometimes. And so this topic, I really wanted to I started researching myself and I was like, okay, where's my stance? This is what I was taught. This is what I have heard. With like many of us within the church about Israel. And so I was like, okay, so we hear this since October, all this information about Israel. This past week, now we see, right, all universities across the United States. The United States has always been a friend to Israel. College campuses have always been pro-Israel. Now we hear so much. 17 colleges were on the list of anti-Israel protests. anti-Israel approached 17 universities where Jewish people are scared. The anti-Semitism is so rampant right now. And it's horrendous knowing, even going back from what we know from World War II, right? And where people in the Holocaust and people said, this will never happen again. Well, guess what? All of a sudden we see this anti-Jew, anti-Jewish mentality taking form right here in the United States. And not just in the United States, but across the world. Israel. Anti-Israel. We see it from, we hear the double talk in the political system, right? Well, we do this and then we say this to keep everybody kind of happy, but it's the double talk. So what is our position? Is my position? What should the church's position be when it comes to the current topic that we have in the headlines every day about Israel? That's what I wanted to look at, because we know, so it's like, what's going on? We know all through history, right? We know all through history that the Israelites were always being hunted down, pretty much, right? Why? Why is that? When we saw it from Egypt, and where the Jewish people just had their Passover, right? And celebrated the Passover. Coming out of slavery, Moses bringing them out of slavery. So they just had their Passover. And then in the Old Testament, so we go from Moses and we go to Esther saving the Jewish people from death by going to the king, and that whole story that we see in Esther. Then fast forward, then you get to who? Hitler. 6 million Jews that they killed. So the Jewish people, what other people has that happened to? Do we see it from the Brits? Do we see it from the Scottish people? Historically, I'm told that my history goes back to the Scottish people. I want to go there. I've never been there. I haven't run all my stuff, but that's what I'm told. I'm told, hey, this is where you came from, right? I'm an American, so I don't care about Scotland. But anyhow, I do care about Scotland, but you know what I mean. It's like, hey, we're Americans. But do we ever hear, like, the Scottish people? I mean, we know that there was slavery and stuff going on, but this constant cry to kill the Scottish people. Do we hear this constant cry, kill the people of Ireland? Do we hear this constant cry, kill the people from Kenya? I mean, but Israel, all through history, we see this constant push to decimate, to destroy Israel. So with that kind of being said, that was where my head was this week. And I was like, you know what? I started to dig into Israel. I started to dig in, and you might know all this information, or you might think, and I don't know if this is going to be just this week or next week, because there's a lot of information. And I just wanted to start unpeeling that banana of Israel, because it's such an important topic and you can see it. So what is going on? What's our position as Christians? Should we be supporting Israel? Should we be defending Israel? How do we defend? How do we support? What's our purpose? What's our job as Christians, as a church, to support or with what's going on with anti-Israel rhetoric all throughout the United States? So that's what we're looking at this morning, and we're going to be opening in Genesis. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will speak to us, speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to understand just the greatness of Israel. Help us to understand how this whole package has developed and where it is in our society. And just give me wisdom, Lord, as I studied and I looked at this and going through all the Hebrew and all the stuff, Lord. And I it was a blessing to me, no doubt, Lord. So I just pray that you'll help me to speak clearly. I pray, amen. Israel, Jacob, we're going to look at Genesis 32. And I have notes all over. And once again, I kind of traced this down from Genesis to Revelation, and I've been in all sorts of, a lot of times what I do, so I like going back when I have, I love the NIV from reading, right? I think it's more, to today's, at least for my time, it's easier for me to understand. But I love the New King James too, but really, the translation that we have, you have to remember, we have a translation. So when we go back, I always go back to the Hebrew or to the Greek of what was actually being said. And the NIV, I have all my documents, all my commentaries, all my concordances go back from the King James. So I always pull out my King James and I go back to see what the original word was in the Hebrew or the Greek to understand kind of when I'm really confused. And that doesn't happen, that happens pretty often when I get really confused, right? So, let's just read. We're going to start off in chapter 32. And I started here because this is the first time in Genesis 32 when the word Israel kind of comes into the Bible. This is where that's why I started here. So, I'm going to start in verse 22. This is the story where Jacob wrestles with God, which we have heard that story. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. And I'm going to go down to 32. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tenderloin attached to the socket of the hip, because of the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. I don't know if you remember last week when I talked about kosher. Okay, when we talked about kosher, a lot of times when you look at a kosher sheet of what kosher and what isn't, you can see like on a cow, or if you can eat the front part of the cow, like the back part is not kosher, and it's taken from here, that tender with the tenderloin. So here, what in the world's going on here? So Jacob. And we all know the story, so I'm trying really to stay right on the path of Israel. I don't want to go back to Abraham, but we know that Israel, Jacob, goes back to Isaac, it goes back to Abraham. That's where, and we'll get there, but right now I wanted to stay on track of Israel. Because Israel, not all Hebrews are Israelites. And not all, so I wanted to kind of pull that out, because what we hear today in society is anti-Israel, not anti-Hebrews, right? We see anti-Israel. We see pro-Palestinian, the Arabs, the kind of, which we know, kind of all related, all in that ball of wax. And when we step back and look at it, we know this battle has been going on for a long, long time. going back to Genesis. So Israel, not all Israelites, not all Hebrews people are Israelites. For instance, Abraham, he's the father, right? But was he an Israelite? He wasn't a descendant of Jacob, who was Israel, but Jacob was a descendant of Abraham. Okay? So when you break stuff down and this specifically looks at the promises God made to the family line, starting with Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob, which became Israel, that lineage of, which is also funny. Last week we ended with what? We ended with Titus. And I kept thinking about this all week because I felt like this guy. This is what we talked about last, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies. And this week, all I was doing was studying the genealogy, right? And I was like, okay, I just said, hey, this is what, as a church, what we need to do. And now I'm here studying genealogies, but, and this is why. For us to avoid, as a church, still staying in how Paul stood up and told, what he told Titus, we have to have correct doctrine. So to understand the genealogy, we're not debating a foolish controversy, but we need, as Christians and as a church, need to understand that genealogy of the Israel, of the Jewish people. So when we look at Jacob, you think about Jacob. So here's Jacob. He's wrestling with a man, which then we know is God. Have you ever, I used to wrestle in high school. Did anyone else ever in here wrestle? Wrestling, you have 3 minutes. And you exert yourself for 3 minutes. It's kind of like boxing. You know how boxing, like if you jump around, you exert yourself for 3 minutes. And you're spent after 3 minutes because you're wrestling this guy. And his full energy the whole time, and you'd think, it's not that hard. You're spent at the end of a minute, and then you get to the next period, and then it's like, you are tired. So here, Jacob wrestles with God, not just for 3 minutes, not just for a half an hour. This guy, and you think about it, this guy wrestled with a man, which was God. I don't understand how God just couldn't flatten him, but that wasn't the purpose, right? The purpose was God wanted to wrestle with this man for whatever reason, because God came to him. And he started to wrestle with Jacob all night long. Do you think that guy, Jacob, when you think about that, this guy, Jacob, was such a stubborn guy. I mean, number one is when he's a trickster too, right? So that's what we know. And the Israeli people are kind of still like that in some way. No offense to them. But the father of them, Jacob, he stole his brother's birthright, right? And he was holding on to Esau's foot when he came. This guy was a stubborn dude. And he was strong. He was holding on to, from the birth. This battle was going on in the womb. And now we see him, this guy, sits there and wrestles all night long with God. And doesn't give up. And morning comes and God says, man, let me go now. And he's like, I am not letting you go. That's a stubborn individual. Don't you think? I mean, all night long, I know probably after half an hour, I'd be like, all right, I'm done. All right, yeah, go. But this guy was stubborn, and he held on to him, and he said, I am not letting you go until I get this blessing. And what did God say? Okay, I'll give you the blessing. And God could have flattened him right there, but God didn't. Why? Because God held to his promises of what he gave his promise to Jacob's father, his grandfather, Abraham. So we see this blessing that continues to follow the Israelite people. But yet we also see that, so he wrestled with God. And he changed his name in verse 28. His name was changed to Israel. And the Hebrew meaning for Israel is he will rule as God. So Jacob's name, which was changed, and we just like Abram was changed to Abraham, Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. The Hebrew meaning for that word is he will rule as God, or it's another root word of having power. So Jacob was given this name. This guy who wrestled with God all night, that God could have flattened him, but he still held on to this man, God, all night long to wrestle. And guess what? He prevailed. Right? Jacob prevailed. Genesis 35. I'm going to read this here. Genesis 35, 9 through 11, we see this again. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. His name now, Jacob, his name Israel, meaning he will rule and have the power. He rules as God. That's the meaning. Verse 11. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. This land, which we all, when we continued, I'm trying to stay focused on Israel. The land was given to him. This land that we hear about now and our students across colleges do not understand why, because they don't understand correct doctrine. So what we hear and see in colleges, what we hear and see and all over the internet of the pro-Palestinians and this Hamas terrorist group that hate the Israelis saying they have stolen our land kind of comes back where on the college, I'm not sure if you've watched any of this or listened to any of the interviews of the protesters. They'll ask these protesters, why are you protesting? Why don't you like Israel? Well, they stole land because they're killing people. We're anti-war. They have no understanding of the Israelite people. They have no understanding of the placement in history and the future and also the genealogy of where Jesus came from and how that kind of came down to affect us as Gentiles. They don't understand. No clue. They don't even know what they're talking about. They just know they're causing disruption. That's what they want to do. Why? Because Satan's standard plan, the standard plan, so we're still not looking at, in history here, we're still not looking at a group of people against a group of people. We are, but we're not because it's so much bigger than that. What we're looking at is a spiritual battle taking place beyond our understanding. We can see it play out. We know the story of Israel through scripture. We know the story of Satan's deception and what, when we see it now taking place right now, is a deception that's taking place amongst the world to hate Israel once again. That's what this to cause this confusion. Because Satan what? Satan hates anything that God loves. And for whatever reason, God chose to love the Israeli people, the nation, and he talks about that, and we'll get into that. But Jacob's name at this time of wrestling was changed to Israel. So not all Hebrews are Israelites. How that comes through is, and I kind of started off first looking at the Hebrews people, the Israelite people, and the Jews. Don't we, when you say Hebrews, do you think all those three? Do we kind of clump them all together? I know I do. You think of the Hebrews, I think of Hebrews, Israel, Jews, I think all the same. Right? That's what I think of. In fact, that's how we look at them today, but in fact, when you detail it out, like the Jews were from the line of Judah. And when the kingdom split, the Jews were under Judah. And the Israelites were in the other part of the kingdom as Israelites. And now when we look at, we hear Jew, the Jewish people, we go back to and put them all into the camp of Israel. That's how the Jewish nation, that's how the Hebrew nation, that's how the people are set up. So there's the Hebrews, because we know Abraham had other sons, right? They aren't Israelites. They're Hebrew. The first time we look at in Genesis 14:13, Abraham. Going back to Abraham, kind of concentrating on the word Hebrew. Genesis 14:13. I'm going to start in verse 13. That's what I said, right? Yep, that's what I said. One who had escaped came and reported this to Abram, the Hebrew. Now, Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, an Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Anar, all whom were aligned with Abram. The word Hebrew, this is the first time we see Hebrew in scripture, calls out that Abram was a Hebrew. The meaning of in the Hebrew word is, because he was a foreigner, it kind of means he's from the other side. So when they came out and said, he's the Hebrew, that word means he's the outsider. He's the guy from the other side of the tracks. He was from the other side of the stream. And he came over, and that's how they looked at Abraham as a Hebrew. He was from the other side. So Abraham had other sons and descendants, and they were Hebrew and they were Arab. And that's what we have going on over in the Middle East. You have all over the world, actually. So if you're how that descendant works, was that my recording? Sorry, Jerry, I could not call it out. It happens to me all the time. It happened to me the other night. We were at, and I always shut my phone off. Always shut my phone off. We go up to community homeschoolers, and they had this thing this past week. And luckily my phone didn't ring, but all of a sudden it's going ding, 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 ding. I'm like, what? I thought you shut that. But anyhow, and sometimes at nighttime I have it by my bed, and Jen hits me, your phone's on. So I always, anyway. So the Jewish people, the Israelites, if we follow the line, and this is, when we follow the line of Jesus, when we go to Matthew, the genealogy, Matthew 1:1, the genealogy of Jesus. I spent a lot of time looking at this week too. Sorry. didn't have it marked. Usually have it marked so it's quick, you know, so I can get there quick. But the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then he jumps into this. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. The father, that's Israel. That's where Jesus Christ came through this channel, going back to Genesis. The channel of the Israelite people, not the Hebrew. It doesn't call it the Hebrew. It calls out Israel. That's what was called out, Israel. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, known as Israel. That's where it came. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. So the Jews came through the line of Judah. That's kind of where things stemmed and how things kind of moved back in Genesis. That's where things kind of aligned. So when you look at that genealogy, it's an interesting to understand that. So why as Christians, and what's our response? What should we do? What should we be doing as Christians? What as a church, as people that love Jesus Christ, that love the Israel people, that love the Jews? What should our stance be when we hear this anti-Israel, which you kind of already know? What's our reasoning? So Genesis 12:13. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people that are protesting don't understand, nor honestly, I would say, that do they probably even care. Genesis 12:1-3. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. That's what God is telling Abraham. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, God speaking, and whoever curses you, so would a curse be anti-Israel protesting? Would cursing be of that nature? And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you, Abram. The blessing comes from this channel of people, from Abraham. We're told that... So when we see the deception going on where people don't understand, nor do they care, because they are being deceived of the what we know Satan's so good at is deceiving people, because God said, once again, hey, he didn't say the Jewish people. He didn't say Abraham was perfect. He never said any of that, because we know they're people just like us, and we were all sinners, and they sinned, and we sinned, and we... and. Imagine how poor King David felt as an Israelite. His whole world, his whole mistakes in his life forever in Scripture. Man, I had an affair, and then I killed my friend who I took his wife. And then all through Scripture, that's what we remember, and he's called out, the poor guy. He's a sinful guy just like we are. And I always say, if King David can have those problems, well, guess what? Little Jeff can have those problems as well. If King David can have those problems, Jeff can have those problems. Right? Can't we all? So when we look at this, but the blessing comes from God saying, whoever blesses you will be blessed. So as Christians, as a church, as a country, it's pretty wise to understand we need to continue to bless Israel, not curse Israel. But yet in our country, we see this taking place, anti-Israel, that dogma that's taking place all over our colleges and universities. And these universities are the ones that our government filters money into. And that we're training this next generation. And there's even people in our Congress who are anti-Israel. And we see this anti-Israel mentality coming back into our society. I'm going to have to pick up more of this next week, but I did want to step on this, and we'll continue this next week. But some of the teaching now in the church, Jen and I discussed this past week, of the replacement theology. So they're taking theology and they're replacing the Jews with the Christian church. That's what's taking place now in many churches. We're going to talk about that next week. But that's, I'd love to talk about it this week, but I know I can't get into it all this week. So, why were the Jews chosen? Deuteronomy, and we'll end with this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you, he's talking to Israel. The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than any other peoples. For you were the fewest, you were the smallest, you were the tiny person of all the peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations to those who love him and keep his commands. God. That's what God says about why he loves Israel, why he loves these people. Replacement theology, we'll get into next week, talks about the Israel people, the Jewish people. It doesn't really matter. They're not the chosen people anymore. It's the church. That's what's being taught now, which is a deception coming from Satan. And we need to see that and understand that so we can talk to people, so people can understand it, because so many people don't understand when they see, because it makes sense, doesn't it? We don't want war. We want peace. So we hear anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, because we love the Palestinians people as well. So we'll start looking at that next week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Jacob. He sounds like a pretty strong man that just had was determined in his life to make things happen, and you blessed him for it, Lord. We know that he was a trickster, and we know that he stole some stuff, and that's how he got his birthright. We know all this stuff, but yet, Lord, you changed his heart, and he became one to follow you, and he became one to love you and challenge to put everything that he had as a man into loving you and growing his family. And we just see how this blessing has taken place. Lord, help me kind of get just a little bit of what Jacob had. I mean, he was a solid guy that was a strong man that was determined, Lord, but he loved you. Help us, help me, help this church to be able to convey the doctrine of Israel in our society today. Help us to see that what's coming with these pitfalls, this deception, that we can understand right out of the gate that what is taking place, that this is a spiritual attack that's taking place in realms that we can't see. That's what's taking place. Help us to understand, help us to see what we can see, and apply it to what's going on in the bigger picture that we can't see. Lord, help us this week to maybe look into more about Israel. Look into more of why you love them. And Lord, help us, and as we look at the next week as a church, to be able to tell people why. In your name we pray. Amen.